Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the conference call of A Small World regarding the half year results 2023. At this time, all participants have been placed on a listen-only mode. The floor will be open for your questions following the presentation. Let me now hand the floor over to Jan Lüscher, the CEO of A Small World.
Thank you very much for the introduction, and I would like to welcome everyone to this earnings call for A Small World's 2023 half year results. My name is Jan Lüscher. I'm the Chief Executive, and I will lead you through today's call. As always, I will touch on a few operational and financial highlights for the period, and I will also provide some additional information to put those results into context so you can better understand the headline numbers. In the end, we will also open up for a Q&A session, and I will obviously answer every open questions that you may have at that point. The presentation that I'm using to illustrate the performance is available for download on our corporate website. If you have not downloaded it yet, I recommend that you do so. It will make it easier to follow my explanations. You can find the link to the presentation in this morning's press release, or you can go straight to our corporate website. The URL is asmallworldag.com, and once you're on the site, you will have to navigate to a section called Investors and to the submenu Investor Documents, where you will find a document called 2023 H1 Results Presentation, which is the document I'll be using for this call. Fantastic. So let's move on. Page number two of the presentation, for those of you who are following along, is the vision for A Small World. Brief recap: we are the world's leading travel and lifestyle community, and we focus on experiences, and we want to inspire our members to travel better, experience more, and make new connections. A brief overview of our businesses on page number three. So the A Small World travel and lifestyle ecosystem consists of eight businesses. At the center is A Small World, a social network which attracts an affluent customer segment with a high willingness to spend on travel and experiences. This audience then creates demands for other businesses, ranging from A Small World events to the world's finest clubs, bespoke travel arrangements or hotel bookings with A Small World Private and the A Small World Collection. In short, the A Small World network is what attracts our customers in the first place, and we then aim to increase the share of wallet with those customers with our other businesses by generating traffic for them. What is new this time around, if you've been with us before, is that we have added another box on this chart. We have added the A Small World Discovery business, which is a newly created business that came out of the partnership with Global Hotel Alliance. You can see it at the bottom left there. Here we act as a partner for independent hotels who would like to participate in the GHA Discovery Hotel Loyalty Platform, and we will speak about that in a bit more detail later. So much for that introduction of the businesses. Let's jump straight to the financial results on page number five. So in short, the first half of 2023 was another record period. It was actually the strongest sales period in the company's history. We had strong sales growth of 56% compared to the same period last year, and that means we went from 7.4 million Swiss francs last year to 11.5 million this year. Very, very significant growth. At the same time, looking at some of our other financials, COGS increased significantly by 126%. This is primarily due to the cost of goods sold for the Prestige and Signature memberships, which were the main driver of the growth. So that's, I mean, expected if you have such a great increase in sales, and we'll talk about that a bit later. On the cost side as well, personnel and OpEx costs, other OpEx costs up by 5% and 11% respectively, sort of kind of showing the invest in staff and in the business and also in marketing expenses over the period compared to last year, which then collectively resulted in a lower EBITDA. So it went down by 25% compared to the same period last year. So we went from 1.4 million to 1 million Swiss francs over the period. And I will quickly elaborate on that on the next slide. But what that meant for net income, it was down by 39% from 960,000 Swiss francs to 584,000 Swiss francs, and earnings per share for the period were at 0.05%. And the cash position was at 2.4 million by the end of the first 6 months of the year. On page number six, you can see how this period compares to the most recent historic performance on our main KPIs. In terms of net sales on the left, you can see that increase of 56% compared to the same period last year, also higher than the strong second half that we had last year with 10.8 million. Yeah, definitely a big step up from a year before. On the member side, we had growth of 5.6%. We stood at roughly 67,400 members by the end of June, and EBITDA was reduced from 1.4 to 1 million. Having said that, the first half of 2022 was a record year for many factors. And so it looks a bit steeper, that decline, than what it probably should look like. And also there were quite a few investments. So let's move to page number seven, where we provide a bit more commentary on the operational highlights for the first 6 months. So as I mentioned, very strong growth, the 56%. Main reason for that was an increased demand for the Small World Prestige and Signature memberships. These are the memberships with all the travel benefits that sell for about 5,000 and 10,000 Swiss francs. We had started a partnership with Emirates last year and started to offer these Prestige and Signature memberships with Emirates Skywards Miles. And that product has just taken off like crazy. So there's a strong demand for that product. And the first half of this year was the first sales period in the first half where we sold that product. And that was the primary reason why sales went up so strongly as they did. At the same time, we also had quite a bit more demand for our subsidiaries, first class and more travel, first class and more travel services and upgrade services. We saw an increase in bookings for the smaller collections and in value coming from that bookings. And we also received a fee from a Global Hotel Alliance for a partnership for the first time, which all contributed to that sales growth. Having said that, the absolutely biggest portion of that was the sale of Prestige and Signature membership with Emirates Skywards Miles. This is what explains the vast majority of this jump in sales. We also continue to invest in the long-term revenue potential of our business. We'll talk about that in a bit, but the Small World Collection grew 26% in terms of stays. I mentioned the partnership with Emirates that drove the sales increase, and the partnership with Global Hotel Alliance that contributed quite significantly in terms of fees. But there's also the Small World Discovery business that we'll talk about in a second. It's also worth mentioning on the cost side or the profitability side that we started to invest again into tactical marketing efforts, so paid advertising and working with other multipliers to basically get the message out and sell more. It's something where we've been very cautiously coming out of the pandemic, that we don't overspend on marketing, but we felt the need that we should spend on marketing again and get ourselves noticed by the customers. So that includes paid advertising, but also we started a comprehensive project to increase our search engine optimization to push our products. So this is our step, I would say, from being very cautious with spending on marketing to cautiously dip our toes in the water again and selectively make some marketing investments that will drive our long-term sales. Also, if you move to page number eight, what is worth mentioning, what also has contributed quite significantly to decline in EBITDA, is that in the same period in the previous year, we had a fairly big consulting project with our Small World Hospitality team where we were working with the Ritz-Carlton Residences in Dubai. That was very well paid and a high margin sort of consulting project. Unfortunately, that project has ended. So it's basically missing from our books this year, and we haven't been able to replace it with another large-scale consulting project like that one. And so this also has left a bit of a gap in our profitability, less so in sales, but like in profitability quite a bit, because it was just quite a high margin business, and the staff that we use to fulfill these or serve these projects basically is obviously still on our books. So that had quite a big impact on the profitability compared to the same period last year. So the joint effect of the additional investments in key initiatives, some marketing spend, and the lack of this major consulting project or a major consulting project has led to a slightly lower EBITDA margin for the period. Having said that, we're not too worried about that. Management expects the EBITDA contribution to increase again during the second half of the year. So, I mean, to be very specific, we expect the number to be higher in the second half of the, during the second half of the year than it is in the first half. And so that's, I think, also a bit of more stable or a better reflection of the business, including the investments that we're putting into the business. Having said that, there are other parts of the business which are currently fully investment mode. This is a Small World Discovery, which we'll talk about in a second, where it will take some time to see the financial results. And at the moment, it's basically an invest. So going to the initiatives on page number 9, so these are three key initiatives that we are working on. And I wanted to provide you with a quick update where we stand with those. So it's the Small World Collection. It's our partnership with Emirates for the Prestige and Signature membership. And it's our partnership with Global Hotel Alliance, where we bought a 10% stake a bit more than a year and a half ago. But are only now getting up and running on a couple of key initiatives. So I want to just talk about those for a little bit and give you an update. For the Small World Collection, our booking engine for luxury hotels, which we offer online through the web and through the app, it's sort of basically comparable to any other online travel agency in terms of functionality that you may know, like a Booking.com or an Expedia, just focused on luxury hotels. That offering is still growing. So on page 10, you basically just see the overview. Page 11, you see probably the most important part of our product in the sense that we have a very special rate, the Small World VIP rate, which offers customers many more travel benefits and perks for the same price. So they get room upgrades, resort credit, complimentary breakfast, early check-in, late check-out, complimentary Wi-Fi. This is really what people book with us and what sets us apart, other than the focus purely on luxury hotels. And page number 12 gives you an overview of the partners that we have, where we can get our hotel portfolio from. So it's a very impressive list of partners. And page 13 is actually the most important part here in today's presentation. It just talks a bit about how the business is developing. So on the chart, you see in graphical representation the stays that have sort of taken place per half year. That's not the bookings, but that's actually what has been concluded, stays that have happened, and that will result in commission for us. We find it the more reliable metric, because with bookings there can be cancellations again, and stays is really what has taken place. You see it indexed basically on the chart. You see the growth of the value of the stays, and there's a 26% increase from the first half of 2022 to the first half of this year. So nice and steady growth on with the business. It's slightly bigger than 2022. I mean, it may look like we're plateauing here, but there is some seasonality. So the second half of the year usually tends to be a stronger year in terms of stays. So it's like late summer holidays and Christmas stays. I can assure you that we're not plateauing. It is growing. So the second half of 2023 will definitely be bigger than the first half. But we have operationally, we found that we need to actually hire additional staff, which we have been doing now, because, when we started with the Small Work Collection, what is now probably about 2 years ago, we dedicated all our effort to bring new hotels to the platform, which we did. So we grew the platform to about 1,500 hotels fairly quickly. But we realized over the past few months that once you have the hotels up, there is quite a significant amount of work required to keep the hotels up to date, to maintain them. And the workload has shifted pretty much to maintaining the hotels that we have and left very little capacity for to add new hotels, which slowed our growth to a certain point. So we have increased the team, and we hope that we can move quicker again and add new hotels more quickly going forward. So with the bigger inventory, create even more sales from our hotel bookings. We have also taken steps to improve SEO performance with an external consulting company, which we will drive new customers to the smaller collection for the first time. And we have also continued to make tech changes, make the user process smoother, also add new functionality. We will shortly do an update which makes it more reliable to book rooms in non-standard configurations, meaning like if you have kids of certain age and so on, which we have to admit was a bit tricky so far with our setup. So all these things will make the booking platform more complete, more extensive, easier to book, in some cases reducing frustration for people who wanted to book with families where it didn't work very well. And so it's we continue to hone the platform and the experience, and we're quite sure that this can become even bigger in the next few years. Then moving on to the partnership with Emirates, we believe that Emirates is one of the airlines with a strong international appeal. That's why we signed a partnership with them in July last year. The idea was to have Emirates Skywards Miles as the third option for the Prestige and Signature membership, which come with 250,000 or 500,000 Emirates Skywards Miles. So it's the third option next to Miles & More and Etihad, so people can choose which miles are most relevant to them. And that offering expanded the reach of these memberships, so the relevance of these memberships to a lot many new customers, especially also in the Middle East, of course, where Emirates is based. And sales have started in September last year, and we already saw quite a big increase in sales during the second half of 2022. And that's strong demand for this product has continued into this year, into the first half, and sort of the strong sales growth really reflects the demand for this product. I can also say that the sales for the Prestige and Signature membership with Emirates has now actually overtaken the sales numbers of the Prestige Signature with Miles & More, which was previously our best-selling product. And so that really explains the big push. In terms of margins, I can say that the Emirates product is unfortunately not as profitable as Miles & More, so it's a slightly lower margin product for us. Having said that, we still on an absolute scale obviously make good money with it, and we'll continue to push it. Maybe here a additional a point on the memberships and sort of the sales of Miles & More. It's not on the slide, but I think it's worth mentioning as well. With Miles & More, we currently have had a slightly lower we sold less during the first half of 2023 compared to 2022. It's due to a couple of factors. One is and it's probably the most important one, that Miles & More has actually launched their own Miles product. Up to now, we were sort of the only game in town if you wanted to get Lufthansa, Swiss, and all these like Lufthansa Group Airlines Miles. So for Miles & More, you needed to come to us, where we were the only place where you could get those miles and you could buy them in larger amounts. But Miles & More has started their own product called Bundle & Go, which is pretty much a copy of our product, probably maybe with a victim of our own success here. So they said we can do that too. And they started promoting this quite heavily to their customers, and they had very heavy discounts that pushed the product. We launched late last year. And we've definitely seen that it's impacting our sales numbers. So the first sale that we did this year was significantly lower, also because there was an overlap with the promotion of their product, which is very unfortunate. Also, we saw that availability for miles bookings were pretty low, which means like people couldn't use their miles, which obviously also reduced demand. So these two factors have made it a bit more difficult for us to sell the Miles & More prestige membership. Having said that, we have addressed the challenge of the overlapping sales periods, and we will avoid those in the future. And we've seen that with our second sale this year. We do three usually per year. We've seen that there was a rebound in sales, so it's not all bad. Hopefully we can manage it. Having said that, though, the sales for the middle sales period have moved quite a bit into the second half. There was a lot of sales in July and in August. So we think that in terms of Miles & More prestige contribution, the second half will be good again from July and August sales from that special sales period, plus like a better coordination with the competitor product from Miles & More. So it's not all bad, but it's definitely they're making it a bit more challenging for us than what we had in terms of product landscape last year. Just as to complete the picture on the prestige and signature membership sales. Good. Then moving on to page number 15, to our partnership with Global Hotel Alliance. For those of you who are not 100% familiar with who Global Hotel Alliance is, it's the world's largest alliance of independent hotel brands. So it brings together hotel groups that jointly work together and jointly operate GHA Discovery, which is the world's largest independent hotel loyalty program. So it's comparable to Marriott Bonvoy or World of Hyatt. Basically, you earn points or Discovery dollars in this case when you stay, and you can spend them on other stays in the future. And A Small World acquired a 10% stake in the company. It was completed last year, announced actually at around Christmas 2021, but completed last year. And GHA Discovery Elite members, so the ones with higher status levels, started to receive complimentary Small World membership that started in July last year and is still ongoing. Also, GHA has paid the first service fee for these memberships to us, contributing to A Small World sales and our cash flow now for the first time, which is great to see. And in general, from an investor point of view, because we're a 10% owner of the company, we're also very happy to say that we believe that was a great financial investment, because GHA Businesses is growing strongly with 60% sales increase last year, which was much higher than what they had initially anticipated. So they bounced back well from the pandemic. Also, NH Hotel Group, which joined the alliance, which is a strong contributor, performed better than expected. So that's everything resulted in a 60% sales increase last year. And unexpectedly, GHA is planning to pay a dividend to its shareholders for last year, which will be paid out during the second half of this year. And so there would also be a financial return on our investment, of a dividend return on that financial investment quicker than what we had thought, which is obviously great to see that that the operation part is working, and also as a financial investment, it seems like it was a great timing and indeed looks better than what we actually had anticipated in the first place. So all around, actually happy with the partnership with JJ, I can say at this point. Going into a bit more detail of the operational part or aspects, move to page number 16, is here's the overview of the GAJ Discovery brand portfolio. These are all the hotel brands that participate in GAJ Discovery, so meaning customers can earn Discovery dollars, the loyalty currency of GAJ Discovery, at all these hotel brands, and they can also spend them at all of these brands. So big names here like Kempinski, Anantara, Nikki Beach, Capella, like I said, NH, Corinthia, and then so you're probably familiar with many of these brands. We last year, or towards the end of last year, a Small World was also added to the brand portfolio, which you can see highlighted here in sort of the left-hand top side of the of that brand chart, brand portfolio. And we are now one of the brands of GAJ Discovery. Moving on to page number 17, here is a screenshot from the new Small World Discovery page. So we as a Small World, and we're not going to run our own hotels, so it's not like there will be a Small World Hotels. We are a service partner for independent hotels who want to become part of the GAJ Discovery loyalty platform, the loyalty program. So far, you couldn't, as an individual hotel, be part of GAJ Discovery because GAJ Discovery was only set up to accommodate brands of a certain size of a hotel portfolio. But as an independent hotel, there was no way for you to join. And as part of our partnership with GAJ, we have agreed that a Small World would become the vehicle for independent hotels to join GAJ Discovery. So we work with independent hotels, set them up on a technical point of view, on a process point of view, to provide their guests with all the benefits of GAJ Discovery, make them bookable through the GAJ Discovery platform, make sure guests can earn GAJ Discovery dollars, and bringing in many independent hotels into the GAJ Discovery hotel portfolio, growing it, and so on. So the website explains that. You see the link there. It's smallworlddiscovery.com if you want to look at it a bit. So it's basically a business card for hotels primarily. And in terms of results for where we stand, on page number 18, we had the goal to sign 10 hotels by the end of the first half of this year. We managed to get 11 hotels at this point. So a Small World Discovery hotel portfolio now has 11 hotels. Having said that, at this point, two hotels are fully connected and are now bookable by customers through the Discovery platform. These are the Chetty in Andermatt and the Mandrake in London, which have launched a bit earlier this year. Five more hotels will follow shortly and are in final stages of being prepared to be brought online and bookable. They include, amongst them, the Beau Rivage in Geneva and the Hotel Alex in Zermatt. The other hotels are more recent additions, and there's a bit of a lead time to prepare a hotel to be part of this, like from a technical point of view, from a process point of view. So they will follow later during this year. And then page number 19, just to mention quite a significant development here on this side. There is a German hotel brand called Althoff, and Althoff has 18 hotels that they manage, and we managed to reach an agreement with them where four of their 18 properties will actually be added to a Small World Discovery, or we have already started the preparation to bring them into a Small World Discovery. Two of those are by name that have been named already are the St. James Hotel and Club in London, but also the Alta Villa Belrose in Saint-Tropez. So these will definitely join soon, meaning probably before the end of the year. And two more properties are being decided right now. It's a bit of a it's a bit of a test case for Altos, so they want to pick those and also make sure we pick hotels that will be easy to do from a technical implementation. So two more to be named, and those four are actually expected to go live later this year. And should this initial phase of collaboration with Altos go well, there's also the possibility that the remaining 14 properties will also be joining the Small World portfolio in the future. I mean, we're talking then next year, the year after. And of course, beyond this conversation with Altos, and we are speaking to many other hotels. So we're confident that this hotel portfolio of 11 hotels will actually grow to 20 hotels, 30 hotels in the near future. And this is becoming a more interesting revenue stream for a Small World. I mean, for the business part of this, it's a commission model in the sense that whenever customers book through Discovery, there is a fee that the hotel is paying to us. We obviously have to share some of that with Global Hotel Alliance to provide the Discovery dollars and other services. But a part of that fee will stay with the Small World. So meaning the more hotels we have, the more people that book through a Small World Discovery for those hotels, the higher our revenue will be from our hotel portfolio. It's a long-term invest, right? As you can see, like, it takes some time to bring hotels online, so there's a lead time. There's also a ramp-up time for a hotel to reach full productivity, because as you can imagine, people need to know first that a hotel is now part of GHA Discovery. Then they need to make the booking, and then there's usually another sort of a few weeks or even months pass from the booking to the stay until we actually see a money flow. So this business here will not be a business that will have a full impact on our sales and profitability numbers for this year. It's a long-term build-up over the next few years that will steadily grow. That's sort of the way to think about the contribution from this business. Great. So that's an overview of our most important initiatives. And we're now going to go quickly into the segment reporting on page 21. So the subscriptions business performance for the first half of the year, it was obviously very strong because this is where we account for the Prestige and Signature sales with Emirates that we have talked about quite a bit. So we grew from 4.8 million to 7.5 million. I mentioned that the Miles & More product was lacking a bit due to their competitive product Bundle & Go, low availability, and also a late start of the mid-year sales period, which shifted quite a bit of sales into the second half year. So that's that. The EBITDA is lower the EBITDA margin is lower mainly to the margin impact from the Emirates product, which is lower margin, but also due to marketing spend on these sales or to generate these sales. Great. The member base grew by 5.6% to 67,454 members compared to June last year. I guess that's quick highlights for the subscriptions business. On the service business performance on page number 22, here we've also seen an increase in revenue. So mainly First Class & More flight and upgrade services or travel services in general have had a strong first half of the year. We also see the collection that is growing, that is sort of in this part. We've seen an increase also in Small World events again. We've had the negative impact here from the missing Small World hospitality consulting project, right? That's why we have an EBITDA that sort of decreased here in this side. This is where this high margin business would have been sitting or where it sat in the first half of last year. And the lower margins basically reflect the loss of this hospitality project, which we just talked about. I apologize. I think there's a mistake here in the way the EBITDA margin is presented in the bottom line that's throwing me off balance. So we'll correct that. But I think those numbers are actually wrong on both of those slides. I apologize for that. Good. Moving to the consolidated financials on page number 24 with the income statement. No surprises there. We're starting with the headline numbers of the strong sales growth, but then also the strong increase in direct expenses, which is the cost of goods sold that we talked about earlier. Other operating expenses, you've seen, has also increased by 17%, sort of showing the investment into technology, also marketing costs and a few other costs that have gone up during this period. And the financial expenses a bit further down in the P&L have also increased, mainly due to interest payments on our debt, which is worth mentioning as well. And as a result, the net result came in 30% lower than for the same period last year. In terms of balance sheet on page 25, we've had no big movement in terms of overall balance sheet size. The cash decreased by 1.6 million. The big reasons here are primarily that we actually did make an investment of 1.2 million into a hospitality real estate investment fund called GE Super Prime Hospitality Holdings. That is a partner that we've been working with in the past for consulting projects on a hospitality side. The idea was to secure a few consulting projects with them for hotels that they are looking at. It's also, the idea was that it's a short term, it will generate a short term return on investment from investing into this portfolio, which actually it may be, we're talking about one hotel right now, but it might be more hotels in the future. But that would multiply fairly quickly, and we acted as a sort of seed investor there. We'll see how it develops. We'll obviously update the group here. But that's the biggest move there, I think, on the assets, that investment. Receivables from service increased due to a reduction in outstanding invoices. Prepayments and accrued income increased due to prepayments for travel. That's sort of the other thing there in the current assets section. And on the financial asset side, you see that increase, which reflects the investment into that real estate investment fund that I have mentioned above. That's the way the financial assets have actually increased. The other big position in there, of course, is the 10% stake in Global Hotel Alliance. Moving to the second part of the balance sheet on page 26, here you see that payables have decreased due to a reduction in open positions for Miles & More prestige promotions, which we had at the end of 2022. It looks like the short-term financial liabilities at the very top remain stable at, looks here like it's 543,100. Having said that, these are new tranches every year. So due to the accounting, they move from long-term financial liabilities. So that's the bank loan. You can see it there it moved from 8.6 million roughly to 8 million. It's a reduction of debt that we have, which then obviously that portion that is being paid out is going into the short-term financial liabilities. So it looks like there's no movement, but pretty much the 543,000 is what we have paid now in terms of debt reduction payments. So we slowly decreasing our leverage, which is a good thing, making the company more valuable and increasing sort of the equity that we have. So this is the equity, which is negative in our case because of the accounting rules that we have where we don't account for goodwill. You can see that it's actually growing, or it's becoming less negative, which is nice to see. So overall, less debt, more value in the company, meaning like the increasing shareholder value or the shareholder part, like from period to period. Page 27 is the cash flow statement, or the first part of that, with the operating cash flow and the investing cash flow. So operating cash flow decreased quite a bit. We started obviously lower with the net results, but we also had changes in working capital. So overall, the operating cash flow came in about 400,000 for the period. And then on the investing activities cash flow, you can see that outflow of 1.2 million for that real estate investment, which is sort of the biggest thing to mention there. But having said that, you can also see that in the period last year, it was a massive 7 million, mainly because of that big outflow of 3.5 million from acquisitions and subsidiaries, which was our last earnout payment for First Class Amour. So that has stopped entirely. And like I said, last year we have become fully self-funding, which you can see here. There's just no outflows anymore from anything from investment point of view, other than sort of the chosen one that we did into the investment fund, of course. Page 28, which is sort of the cash flow from financing activities here. Obviously, you see the number again of the outflow of the payments for or debt payments. Or debt repayments for a bit more than 500,000. And you can see the net cash change, which went down by 1.6 million. But like I said, the biggest factors there are actually the 1.2 million real estate investment and the 500,000 Swiss francs debt repayment that have driven that number to be negative. And so it feels fine to us, and it's not a case of concern at this point. We also have quite a bit of outstanding invoices, so there will be a cash inflow. So from a cash management point of view and liquidity point of view, we actually feel quite confident where we are right now. Good, and that already brings us to the outlook on page 30. We believe the second half of the year we'll see another strong revenue performance, so we will continue to see strong sales. And we believe also that we will probably move up a bit again in terms of EBITDA contribution. So the demand for prestige and signature memberships will probably remain high for the Emirates product. Like we said, we hope we can sell a bit more Miles & More prestige and signature memberships again during the second half of the year, which will contribute nicely. And also we believe that the EBITDA contribution should actually go up. And more hotels, we hope that we will get more hotels into a Small World Discovery and continue to grow our hotel portfolio on that side. Like we said, it's a bit of a long-term game in terms of financial impact, but that's what we're focusing on right now. And as well for the collection, we want to add more hotels again and grow the inventory of hotels that we're going to offer with our additional staff that we have hired and obviously promote it more. Also, we have started a project to review the Small World membership levels that we have, and this is a bit more of an outlook, maybe going even beyond the second half of the year. We may restructure our membership offering in 2024 to increase the number of customers that we have and bring more and new customers into a Small World and to then sell them all our other services that we have, like the collection and other products and services from us and from our partners. So that's the idea. So it's a bit of a longer term project to increase the reach and the number of members for a Small World in the future that we are working on. And hopefully I can provide an update during the next check-in here. Guidance for 2023, the full year view, we are keeping our sales target, which was 20 to 22 million for the year. So we're quite confident that we will be able to reach that. Also from a member point of view, we keep the member target of 70 to 72,000 members. For EBITDA, we have decided because of the first half of the year to slightly revise the number. So we will now expect an EBITDA of 2.2 to 2.4 million for the full year. So here, obviously it's always a bit of a balancing act, and obviously you want the business to be strong. But what I'm saying with the balancing act is how much do you invest into the long-term growth of the business? How much do you invest into tactical marketing that sort of should drive sales? So we have decided that we're happy to maybe shave off a little bit of the EBITDA in the short term to grow the business more in the long term, you know, drive the hotel portfolio smaller, Discovery, invest into tech and so on, and into the team, for example, in the collection to bring a better inventory to the customer, which would improve sales long term. So we keep our policy of growing profitably. So we don't want to go into a territory where we just reinvest all the money that we have into the business. We want to remain self-funding. We want to sort of manage cash levels. But we also want to make sure we invest where we believe we'll get a high return. And if that means sometimes like that we have slightly lower EBITDA, we're okay with that for now, right? And obviously that lack of a consulting project, which we kind of anticipated but hoped that we could fill it with something else, has also had an impact on the first half of the year. So we just feel like we didn't want to keep the EBITDA guidance high and then potentially disappoint for the full year, but decided to take it down a little bit to a level where we think it will actually be attainable and what we will reach for the year. So that's that from my side. So it concludes the presentation. If you have any questions, I'm happy to do a quick round of Q&A, and I'm handing back to the operator for the process.
Thank you very much. So ladies and gentlemen, if you would like to ask a question, please press 9 and the star key on your telephone keypad. In case you wish to withdraw your question, please press 9 and star again. Please press 9 and star to register for a question. And first up is Yi Zong from Alpha Value. Over to you.
Hi, Yan. Thank you for the presentation. Three questions from my side, if I may. The first one, do you hear me?
I can hear you very well. Hi, it's nice to have you with
hi.
Us.
Hi. So the first one, should the downgraded EBITDA guidance for 2023 be fully explained by the H1 underperformance, or do you also see a less favorable H2 compared to your last trading update? Secondly, regarding your tactically increasing spending on marketing, should we expect related expenses at a similar percentage for the following years, or this would be some sort of implementation costs? Last, you mentioned a planned increase in in-person events. Is there a target number for the full year? That's all. Thank you.
Okay. Yeah. So for the EBITDA, well, look, you mentioned the term underperformance for the first year. I mean, I'm not a big fan of the term underperformance. I think it's just that we have obviously the lack of that consulting project, which I mentioned a few times, is definitely unfortunate, and that you could potentially say that is underperformance, right? We should have maybe gotten another project of that size. So fair enough. But the rest is actually, I think the rest is conscious investments, right? Sort of into team size in collection, team size of the tech team. Like I said, to your point number two, like marketing expenses and so on. So I think we're trying to make the best decisions for the business as we go along, and sometimes that means they will be different decisions taken along the way compared to when you first sat down and did the budget for a period. So in that sense, I'm feeling comfortable, let's say, with what we spend the money on, and I think it's long-term creating value for the company, even if it means for maybe for this year we had to lower our full year EBITDA guidance a bit. So in that sense, I'm comfortable with the money that the business has generated and how we're spending it right now. But yes, that could potentially mean, I don't know, next year we'll be on the same levels before some of our more long-term projects, like I said, smaller discovery or the build of the smaller collection or other things like fully funnel through, right, and hit the sales and bottom line. But yeah, so I'm comfortable with that. Marketing expenses for the first half of the year, yes, I think we're probably increasing them on a permanent level. So I wouldn't think that we would reduce them again during the second half of the year. So in that sense, that additional expense and also obviously the other investments, like I said, in team and tech and so on, they're probably ongoing. There's always something to do. It was a decision where, for example, in the tech team during the pandemic, we had reduced the tech team quite a bit, right, to save cost. But over the sort of last few months, we've increased the team again to be quicker to build, because we've seen that with the team size that we have, and then I have to say, I love the tech team we have. They're all fantastic people, but they're basically, I always say, in a bit of a cynical way that basically we have a team of, a handful of people that run a Facebook and a booking.com sort of setup, basically our social network plus the booking platform. And if you look at other companies that have similar businesses, they have tech teams that sort of are probably 100 times what we have. In that sense, increasing the spend on tech team to move a bit faster and implement changes a bit faster, I think will pay off there. But like, yes, sort of in terms of cost, that those costs are probably here to stay, to your point. Hopefully what will offset it is that we generate more sales or profitable sales in other areas in the future that will sort of more than compensate for that additional cost. And in terms of events, they've been steadily growing. I think I gave an update for the full year. I haven't really brought the numbers to today's presentation, but I don't have them by heart, to be honest. I would have to go back and give you an update after the call and like where we stand with how many we've done half of the year and for the full year and how that compares to last year, if that's okay with you.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. So the next questioner is Henry Mendish from New Ways. Over to you.
Hi, good afternoon or good evening already. Jan, how are you doing?
I'm good. I haven't even said that. I'm at the other end of the world right now. I'm in Las Vegas attending a travel conference. So for me, this is quite early morning.
Yeah, I thought because it's in the evening, though. Of course, I have a couple. Of
yeah, yeah. Because I had to push it back to like accommodate my travel schedule. So apologies.
Yeah, I think last time you were just arriving back from the States, so you were quite tired. But now you're. I hope you're well slept.
Doing well, yeah, thank you.
A couple of questions from my side. You mm-hmm. mentioned that the cost of goods sold from the Emirates Skywards program has a little less favorable gross margin than the Miles & More program. Does it also include for H1 any sort of ramp-up costs or set-up costs? Because you just set it up in H2, or is it more or less on the same gross margin level for H2, if we, for example, take into account the product mix will stay the same. So, how do you feel about the Emirates cost of goods sold for H2, basically?
Yeah, it's a very good question. So the disappointing answer here is no, there are no big setup costs, and this is probably this is a stable margin, I would assume, going forward. Obviously there's a bit of setup cost to in terms of overhead, negotiating and setting up the websites, adding a new product to the system and so on, but honestly it's not meaningful in the sense that we would expect half a million more for the second half of the year. And we're also not working with promotions for this product, really, because of the slightly different margin structure there. We decided to not do discounts, which we actually do heavily with Miles & More, right, to push sales. So we're not doing any discounts. So I would assume margins will remain fairly stable for the Emirates product. I mean, unfortunately, right? Would have loved to say it's going to be a lot better the second half of the year, but it's just stable okay. at a lower level compared to the Miles & More product.
Okay, thanks. But in general, how defensive are your gross margins with the Emirates partner? I don't know, they plan to increase their prices at some point. Do you plan to pass them on, or is that something you're considering for the future? I don't know if they've ever increased prices in the past, but there's inflation all around.
Yeah,
they haven't
so far, which is good. So Miles & More, we haven't had a price increase ever since we started the partnership with them, which is good to see. Emirates, obviously, being a newer partnership with the contract, the contract was signed mid last year, so it's not even a year. I'm not sure whether they will increase prices at some point. Hasn't been indicated to us at this stage. Obviously, if we get the price increase, we will fully pass it on. So the goal would be just to keep margins stable if we have a price increase and not compress margin much further, because it's already it's already, like I said, not as profitable as Miles & More. But having said that, you know, you can also not expand prices indefinitely or push mm-hmm. them up, because with Miles, you have the competition with Miles is buying a flight directly, right? So I mean, if you don't have as a customer a cost advantage to book your flight with Miles, but it's actually cheaper to pay cash, then you're not going to do Miles, right? Sort of. So that's why your substitute product for Miles is actually buying flights. So that's why there's a certain limit on when it's just no longer attractive for customers to buy it. So that's what influences the pricing actually mostly.
I see. Yeah, that makes sense. But the Miles & More has gone down due to the bundle and go. Speaking of competition, but how yeah. exactly does it impact your business? Like, do the memberships, are they locked in for example, for Miles & More, or can they switch to Etihad or Emirates while they're a prestige member,
yeah.
for example?
Yeah, well, I mean, it's we call the memberships but really what they are, they're one-off payments just
yeah.
on an annual basis. So let's say if somebody buys a prestige membership with Miles & More, so 5,000
yeah.
for 5,000 euros today, we are not going to automatically charge them again in a year from now. In a year from now, we will send them an email saying, like, hey, by the way, your membership is actually over now. If you wish to purchase another one, get another 250,000 miles, you're more than welcome. Like, please do it, right? So the term membership is actually a bit misleading in the sense that it's not like we're like a Netflix business and every month we charge $15, right? And it just keeps going, and at some point somebody's going to switch. So it's really more... they are really more one-off payments, really, because obviously you can't just charge somebody's credit card for 5,000 euros. Everything that comes after that is just a nightmare. So it's really one-off purchases. So meaning if somebody we have customers that actually have multiple memberships with different, so they have an Emirates membership and they have a Miles & More membership, and so they overlap. And they also, with Miles & More, they can also purchase another membership even within the year, like, and we just basically give them the miles but add on another year of membership afterwards. So you really have to think about it a bit more as one-off purchases, and they're just packaged as memberships for a couple of tactical and legal reasons also, right? like that, but they're one-off payments. And yet there are people that have different ones, different air miles at the same time, and people that switch, so that does happen.
I see. Thanks. That's very helpful. But on H2 margin improvements, just for me to get it right, Is it fair to sum it up? There are three or four things going on. So basically what you expect is a better product mix because of a little return in the Miles & More program. Then more or less constant marketing, so it's not a big increase in marketing, but also not a big decrease. Maybe any other things? You said the real estate investment was for 2 million. It's going to be short-term return on invest. Is it something for H2 or more for 2024? And also, with now H1 didn't have a consulting fee hospitality on the hospitality side. Is there anything in the pipeline maybe for H2 or for 2024 that could help the margin basically go up to higher levels? I think now in H1 it really normalized because last year was quite profitable. But how do you see the improvements and where does it stem from for H2?
Yeah, I mean, if you just look at the numbers, the first half of the year we reported 1 million now. And with our forecast for the full year being 2.2 to 2.4, obviously implies that we expect 1.2 to 1.4 million for the second half of the year, right? Which is obviously a bit higher than the first half of the year. So yes, a couple of factors. I think if we start with what you mentioned with Miles & More, I think we can increase sales again with them, and the mid-year sales period has fallen into June and July into July and August quite a bit, so into H2. So I expect that product to contribute a bit more, and that's, like I said, it's a better margin business or higher margin business, which is nice to see. For the consulting projects, we indeed have a couple of projects lined up for the second half of the year, so that will also contribute again. And then there were a couple of investments in the first half of the year, which were also, you know, one-off costs from a technical point of view. I mean, into the systems and into a couple of other, into tech in general that will not be repeated. Obviously, investments into the team and so on will be ongoing. So there will be a bit more personnel cost and so on, and that stays. But there were a couple of one-off factors in the first half of the year as well. So it's really not one of those things, but it's a combination of all of these factors that should make H2 look a bit better than what H1 looked like.
All right. That's it from my side. Thanks so much.
Fantastic. Thank you. Always great to hear the questions. Thank you.
Thank you very much. At the moment, there are no further questions. So any additional questions, please press 9 and star now. And we do not have any further questions.
Well, fantastic. Well, then I would like to thank everyone who participated. Ian, Henry, thank you for your thoughtful questions. Just to conclude, yes, like I said, the first half was probably a bit behind our expectations. We think the second half is going to be better, but what really makes us happy about the performance though is that we could see that with the addition of a new product like the product from Emirates, we can really push sales and we can successfully implement new products. So we of course also looking to find other partners, probably not find another Emirates and a Miles & More, but we may add smaller players to that and expand our product portfolio in the future. And it's also great to see that the partnership with GHA, which was obviously a bit of a gamble with our $4.5 million investment, which we also financed with debt, is starting to pay off purely from a financial point of view. So we get the dividend payments from them, but also operationally, and with that business that we're ramping up with a Small World Discovery, where we can see that hotels are interested to join. So I just put that all in there for balance. So I think in terms of building the business, we're in a great spot, even though maybe the EBITDA number for the first half of the year came a bit lower than what we wanted. So we're feeling good about the business we're building. And so I hope you can see that. And I thank you very much for joining me for this call. And if you have any questions after the call, please just feel free to reach out to me directly. And otherwise, I wish you a very, very nice evening, very nice day.